produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Leviticus is broken down into two major sections, like we talked about. We've already done this. I'm just, for someone that's viewing for the first time, I want you on the same page with us, okay? This is broken down into two major sections. The first section is chapter 1 through chapter 10, and it is the way to God is through sacrifice. So everything in the first 10 chapters deals with teaching the people that the way to God is through sacrifice. Chapter 11 through chapter 27 starts Israel's walk with God in fellowship. So that's all the rules and regulations for their walk with God, okay? And that, simply stated, is to be holy and to be righteous, okay? So we are working on, now we'll get to that part later. Today, we're still dealing with the first major section, which is the way to God is through sacrifice. That is chapter 1 through 10. The first section, 1 through 7, dealt with the offerings and the regulations for the offerings. Okay? Now, 8, 9, and 10 deals with the consecration and duties of the priest. Okay? And that's where we are right now. So we got an easy lesson today, because we're only going to cover 8, 9, and 10. And then when we start back next week, we will start on the second major section of Leviticus, which starts chapter 11, okay? Chapter 11 through 27. We only have 27 chapters this time instead of the 40, 45 we normally have, okay? So let's start chapter 8. Amen? Okay, let's get to it. So people are still coming in. Come on in. I can see you guys. Come on in. V, I see you. Come on in. Okay. Chapter 8 is, and I always tell you, get your study Bible. Okay. Chapter 8 is Aaron and his sons consecrated. If you have a study Bible, it will give you a heading before most chapters. Always look at that heading, because it tells you exactly what you are reading. Okay, and what that topic is in that particular chapter. Okay, so you will see in that chapter, it says, and Lord said to Moses, take Aaron and his sons. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of the installation process for Aaron and his sons as priests. Okay, we have seen multiple times, that in our churches today, we have the installation process, how we install pastors. Okay, well, this is what is going on at this time. Come on in, guys. Come on in. Y'all haven't missed anything. We're starting chapter 8. Chapter 8 in Leviticus. That's where we are, chapter 8. So just as we have seen pastors installed in our churches, this is what's about to happen in chapter 8. Aaron and his sons are being installed as priests, okay? Aaron is the high priest. So you can kind of compare that to a pastor of the church and his assistant pastors, okay? That's exactly what's going on here, with the difference that I want you to make sure to keep in your mind that Aaron is the high priest. Aaron is the high priest. And actually, I hope you got this in your reading, at this time, Moses is acting as high priest. Why? Because he's the one communicating directly with God. Amen? So he is the high priest. Aaron is being installed as the high priest. And then he will communicate and he will perform all the duties of the priest. Okay? I know. I get it. I said it before the line started. Leviticus is one of those hard books. Okay? It's one of the books that you read and you wonder, why am I reading this? Believe me, I'm going to try to give you some tidbits to where it can make it a little bit more interesting for you. Okay? All right. Now, those of y'all that are signing on for the first time, hey, go to YouTube. Corey Evans Sr. is the channel. Just search my name. All of the previous lessons will come up. Start from session one, and each session is about an hour long. Just one by one, go through it, and you'll get caught up. So if there's some things you don't understand that I'm saying right now, it's okay. That's why I built the YouTube page, okay? So go and at your leisure, once a day or twice a day, whatever you want to do, get yourself caught up. Okay. All right. Now let's look at chapter 8. And this is when I was reading it, it really, really made me feel good because how we are doing this Bible study, I know in reading this that you are better off as a Bible student. Okay. Now just look at chapter 8. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, take Aaron and his sons with him and the garments, the anointing oil, a bull as a sin offering, two rams and a basket of unleavened bread, and gather all the congregation together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. I'll stop right there. What I am saying, it makes me feel good because I have taught you about Aaron and his sons. I have taught you about the garments, the anointing oil. I have taught you about the offerings, the sin offering, what they had to sacrifice for that sin offering. I've taught you about the unleavened bread and the tabernacle and tent of meeting. So before you have learned these things in this Bible study, you would have started chapter 8 and heard all of these things, and you would have just breezed straight over it because you had no understanding of it. That is why God placed upon my heart to start this ministry, because he wants his Bible taught chapter by chapter, book by book, page by page, so that you get the context of why it is written and the content of the scriptures. Amen? So this is the beginning of the installation process for Aaron and his sons as priests, okay? Around verse 6, you see Aaron went through a ceremonial washing. And what that means is it shows the requirement for the purity for the priests. They had to purify themselves first before any of their duties could be done, okay? And I'm going to try to connect the dots and bring it all together for you, okay? Verse 7 through 9 deals with, it says, put the priestly garments on Aaron as high priest. So everything leading up to that, the offerings, the sacrifices, the washing of Aaron, the preparation of the garments, now everything is being put on Aaron as high priest. Hopefully, it caught your attention to see not the other ones yet, not his sons yet, but Aaron was done first, okay? The installation process, okay? So around verse 10 through 12, Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it. All that was in it, and consecrated them. Why? Because God is holy. The entire place, the utensils, the people, everything had to go through a sanctification process. We're building up to something, okay? It had to go through a sanctification process. Everything had to be pure, or shall we say purified, in this process. For those of you that are signing on, this is talking about the Levites, the tribe of Levi, Aaron, in the tribe of Levi. God wants the Levites, or the Levitical priests, same thing, from the tribe of Levi. That tribe was to be the tribe that would be the priestly tribe. Or what you want to say, that's where the pastors and preachers would come from, okay? So that's what God wanted. Out of the 12 tribes, God picked the tribe of Levi. Aaron is a Levite from the tribe of Levi. His sons are from the tribe of Levi, meaning they are Levitical priests. When you see it put like that or worded like that later, you know why. All that means is they're from the tribe of Levi, and God himself said they would be the priestly line, okay? And there's a lot of things I explained about that in previous sessions. The other tribes were to provide for them because they were priests, and they were to be working for God and consecrating themselves for God daily. They didn't have time to work. All their work was supposed to be done for God, okay? Now, the temple, or should I say the tabernacle, excuse me, not temple, the tabernacle or tabernacle of meeting is what we're talking about, okay? You got inside of the courtyard, you got your courtyard, you got your tabernacle, which was the tent. Tabernacle or tent of meeting is the same thing. The tent of meeting was divided into two parts. The first part was the holy place. Then you have the veil. Behind the veil was the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of God was. That was the most holy place, or you have heard it referred to as Holy of Holies. Okay, it's the same thing. The most holy place, or Holy of Holies. No one could go behind the veil, but Aaron, once he's established as high priest, and he could only go behind the veil one time a year, which was on the Day of Atonement. Okay? Moving right along. So, because God is holy, the entire place, everything in the tabernacle, the utensils, the furniture, the garments, the people, the priests, everything had to go through a sanctification process. Okay? So you see around verse 13, now Moses took Aaron's sons, like I say, slow down and read every word. Now it says Moses took Aaron's sons and dressed them in their priest clothes. So he dealt with the high priest first because he was going to be the highest ranking priest. Then he dealt with his sons around verse 13. Now, let me reiterate for those of you guys that's coming on. Everything that we're reading is an example of Christ to come. Okay? It's an example of Christ to come. Aaron was the high priest at this time. They made sacrifices for the people, so the people would be righteous before God. It's an example of Christ Jesus. Making the sacrifice for us, he is our high priest. So this is getting their minds ready, that knowing that all people are sinful creatures, they need a savior, they need sacrifices. So getting their minds prepped for this, getting them all the rules and regulations of the sacrifices and the offerings. So later, Christ Jesus will come on the scene. Now, we don't have to do these things. Amen? Amen. So now, if you look at around verse 14 through 17, the priests had to make atonement for their own sins first. And I always tell people, make sure to read these sections first before I explain them, so that you will already know this, but I will just give you the information to expound on your learning, okay? The priests had to make atonement for their own sins first, before they could stand before the people as priests, okay? They had to. Now, you see it says the death of the animal was the sacrifice. The death of the animal was only a sacrifice for their sins. It could not wipe them away. Only the shed blood of the high priest, Jesus Christ, could do that. So when you're reading all of these sacrifices and all these offerings, it was to make atonement for the Israelites only. Now, not everybody else. The world was populated, but not everybody else. Only the Israelites, only the Hebrews, same thing. Only the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob's name was turned to Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, the Israelites. None of this applies to everybody else. It's just the Israelites, the Hebrews, okay? So to make an atonement for their sins, they had to give the sacrifices, but it just made an atonement for it. It didn't wipe away the sin. Only Christ Jesus could do that later, okay? Verse 18 through 21, you see that the ram was sacrificed, the whole ram was sacrificed, and that indicated the total dedication of the priest for the Lord's service. So nothing or no parts of the ram was left behind. The entire thing was sacrificed, meaning the priests had to give total dedication of their lives to the service of the Lord. Amen. Now, those of you, if things are not making sense to you, if this is your first time on, it's okay. Just be patient. Just get yourself caught up and believe me, it will make sense to you. Okay. And I try to repeat a lot of things so that those of you that are catching up, that it will make sense to you, okay? Verse 22 through 30, placing the blood on the priest. If you saw that, they sprinkled the blood on the priest themselves. Placing the blood on the priest shows the total cleansing of the priest, okay? The total cleansing of the priest. And I always include in our study notes things that jump off the page at me, okay? And it spoke of putting blood on their ear and on their hand and on their foot. So, you know, I had to research that for you guys to find out for myself, really, and also to find out for you guys why was it specifying that? Well, there was a reason for it. When they sprinkle the blood on the priest, it shows total cleansing of the priest. When they put a dab of blood of the sacrificial animal on the ear, that signified hearing the confessions of the people, purifying their ear to hear the confessions of the people. Makes sense. They put the blood on their hand. That's touching and handling of the offering. So that was purifying or dedicating their hands in the service of God, because they would be touching and handling the offerings and the sacrifices that the Israelites brought to them daily, daily, okay? They had to sacrifice for their sins daily, okay? When they put the blood on the foot, that signifies the holy courtyard and tent where they served. So their foot was purified because they would be always in the tent or in the courtyard performing the duties of the priest. So the covering of the blood, just like we plead the blood over our lives now, was the covering that they needed to perform their duties. That's why it specified sprinkling the blood on them, then their ear, then their hand, then their foot. Amen? We got that? Okay. Now let's go down to verse 30, okay? Moses took some of the oil, the anointing oil, and the blood, and anointed Aaron and his sons and their clothing, and consecrated them. So when you see that word consecrated, you know I had to give you a definition. Consecrated is to select persons, places, or things that were designated exclusively for the Lord's service. Exclusively. Nothing else, no other service. They were dedicated exclusively to do one thing, and that was to perform the service of the Lord. Amen? So that's what it means to be consecrated. And chapter 8 has a heading, Aaron and his sons consecrated. Okay? You look at verse 31 through 32, and I know you've already read it. So those of y'all this first time, bear with us because you probably haven't read the chapters beforehand, but it's okay. You'll get caught up and you'll feel a lot more comfortable next time. Okay. We're here every Thursday at 7 o'clock. Verse 31 through 32, it was the consecration meal. And the consecration meal symbolized approval and fellowship with the Lord. Okay. So part of the sacrifice was used for a consecration meal. And when they sit and had meal of the sacrifice, one of the sacrifice animals, that meant that God approved the sacrifice. And that meant that they were in fellowship or having fellowship with the Lord. Amen. Amen. I think that's real easy to understand. So now we have verse 33 through 35, which we finish up chapter 8. And the number 7, I wanted to make sure to tell you, symbolized the completion of the ritual's purpose. Okay. And we know that number 7 is very, very important in the Bible. It's the number of completion. Throughout the Bible, 7 is used as the number of completion. Okay. And we see that all the time. The 7 seals, the 7 trunks, the 7 days of creation, 6 and then 1 resting is 7. The 7 times of Jericho. I mean, all of these 7 things that we see means completion in the Bible. Well, now the priest, it took 7 days to consecrate them, I can't talk, for the purposes of God. Okay. Now, the priest could not leave the grounds for 7 days or they die. Okay. They could not leave the grounds, the courtyard. They couldn't step outside of that fence for 7 days or they die. Amen. 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 And like we said, those of you guys, it's your first time, we go book by book, chapter by chapter, okay? Now, remember, it's a good thing. We're going to start chapter 9, okay? It's a good thing to, as you're reading, always ask yourself why. Why? Well, why is this said? Well, why did he put it like that? Why is God mentioning this? And if you say that, or if you ask yourself that question, it will force you to dive deeper into the meanings of the scriptures. Okay, slow down in your reading. Every word is important if it's in the Bible. Slow down and read every word and ask yourself why. Why is this being given? Now, why do the priests have to go through this full consecration process? God wanted to commune with his people. He cannot commune or be in the midst of his people, a holy God and unholy people. They are unholy because the Bible says we are all born into sin and iniquity. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We all born into sin because sin entered into the world all the way back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. With the first sin. We can't do anything about that. All people are born on this sinful earth. Now, when you read Genesis, as we already have and went through that entire book, God was in the midst of his creation, in the midst of the garden. His desire has always been to be in the midst with his people and commune with his creation. When sin entered into the world, it separated us from God, not God from us. So God is saying, build my tabernacle, which they have, and I can commune with my people in the midst. And the ranks of the 12 tribes were all the way around the courtyard. And God was, his presence was in the middle, inside of the tabernacle, inside of the Holy of Holies, or named the Most Holy Place. That's why the priests had to go through all of this, because the people had to make sacrifices because they are unholy people. The priests had to be consecrated because they had to accept the sacrifices, do the rituals, perform the ceremonies, and be inside of the courtyard and the most holy place. Well, the holy place, and Aaron inside the most holy place. That's why this is happening, okay? So I hope that made sense to you. I hope you're able to tie it all together, okay? So here we go, chapter 9. It says, it's entitled, The Priestly Ministry Begins. The Priestly Ministry Begins, okay? On the eighth day, Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, okay? Now, this is the first communion service of the priests were done on this day, okay? They were separated and consecrated for 7 days. This is the eighth day. Now they're going to start or begin their priestly ministry, okay? Because chapter 9, verse 1 says, it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel and said to them, take for yourselves a young bull as a what? Sin offering. We've already talked about that. And a ram as a what? Burnt offering. We talked about that. Without blemish. We already talked about why it had to be without blemish. And offer them before the Lord. And the children of Israel, you shall speak, saying, take a kid of goats as a sin offering, a calf and a lamb, both of the first year without blemish, as a burnt offering. Then it speaks of the peace offering. It speaks of the grain offering, all in verses 1-4. And remember, I walked you guys through all of the different offerings. So now when you read that, you know exactly what those offerings are. Amen? Amen. So now, verse 2, Aaron and his sons still had to present a sin offering and a burnt offering, get this now, although they had went through 7 days of consecration. Let me say it again. Aaron and his sons still had to present a sin offering. I just read it for you. And a burnt offering. But they had just left 7 days of consecration. What is this saying? It showed the constant need for cleansing and atonement before they officiated before the people. God is not playing with his priest. God is not playing with his pastors. God is not playing with his people, okay? What I want you to gather from these chapters, even though I'm teaching you the backstories and all of that, God desires for his people to be holy and to be righteous. The only way we can do that is to accept Jesus Christ, Yahshua the Savior, as our personal Savior and repent of your sins daily. Not when you think you've committed a sin. I teach and preach the gospel, and I ask for forgiveness of my sins every single day. Sins that I know of, sins that I don't know of, anything that I've done by omission or commission, wash me new and afresh with the blood of Jesus, restore me, renew me, back into right standing with you. I can say it like that because I say it every single day to God. We are sinful creatures. Ask for forgiveness of your sins, whether you feel you have created any or not. Ask for forgiveness every single day. Because if you know one word in the Bible, you know we do not know the day or the hour that Christ will return and call us home. Or we don't know when we leave this earth the day or the hour, but he does. Don't get caught slipping, as they say. Don't get caught without your covering. Amen? Amen. So moving right along before I get harping on that. But if the priests had to give offerings like this and consecrate themselves like this and always ask forgiveness like this, then that showed the people what they had to do. Okay? So verse 3-5, and I'm paraphrasing, just giving you the notes because you've already read it. Aaron is now giving directions to the congregation. Did y'all catch that? So Moses is falling back now, and Aaron is taking the lead. Okay? That's what you should have picked up right there. Aaron is now speaking. Okay? Now, he is elevated in the eyes of the people as the high priest. And they're accepting that now. So he's speaking directly to them. The people gave 5 offerings to prepare for the appearance of the Lord's presence. And the 5 offerings are the offerings that I have already taught you and explained to you exactly what that was. Okay? Now, but I want to mention to you, look at verse 3. Okay? And the children of Israel, you shall speak, saying, take a kid of the goats as a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year without blemish, as a burnt offering, also a bull and a lamb as a peace offering to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil, for today the Lord will appear to you. So that's why I put in your notes, they gave 5 offerings to prepare for the appearance of the Lord's presence. If they would not have done those offerings, then the Lord's presence was not going to show up for them. The way to God is being shown to them as through sacrifice. They must do these sacrifices and sacrifice their lives. That's the way unto God. That's what this whole section, chapters 1 through 10, is about, teaching them the way to God. And the way to God is through sacrifice. But what does our Bible teach us? Obedience is better than sacrifice. If they are not obedient to the letter of the law, then their sacrifices are not acceptable. Okay? And we will see that in a minute. So, verse 15. The sin offering was given for the people. You'll see that right in verse 15. Okay, in verse 22, Aaron lifted his hand toward the people and blessed them. Verse 22. Now, that was beautiful because why? Aaron is now taking his position as the overseer for the people, as the high priest for the people. Look at verse 22. Then Aaron lifted his hands toward the people, blessed them, and came down from the offering, from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offering. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Mm-mm. After all of the offerings were given, then the people were blessed. Amen? So now, look at around verse 23, you will see, then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. The glory of the Lord, his presence, appeared to all the people. Why? Because they performed the sacrifice and the offerings. Why? Because they were obedient to the letter of the law of how to give the sacrifice and offerings. Then the presence of the Lord showed up. Amen, somebody. And the fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering on the altar. Okay? And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and shouted. Why? This is the Lord. When you see the Lord in this part of the Old Testament, that means Yahweh, which is the Most High God, our Creator God. The Lord, Yahweh, is showing his glory to the people so that there can never be a chance that they feel or they say that God does not exist. And yes, it's the same people that he brought out of Egypt and fed them with manna. And yes, same people. But he is constantly showing himself strong to his children so that they may be obedient unto him. And we know they got a problem with that obedience thing later because we've already read our Bible before, right? Okay, but we're going to teach it every step of the way. Okay, so, and that's why we are in the situation we're in today, because our people were not obedient over and over again. But we're going to get to that, okay? So, the priests would enter the holy place every day from now on. I hope you caught that. Every day they would enter into the holy place, not the most holy, but the holy place, not the holy of holies, but the holy place, the first section, the first division of the tent, or the or other named tabernacle. Okay. Now, Aaron only would enter the most holy place once a year, and that was on the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is the one day that he made sure to give the sacrifices for the entire nation at one time. Okay. During the year, they were giving, each family was giving their sacrifices. This, the Day of Atonement, was for the entire nation. Amen. 7:41, we're doing good. I'm not talking too much, huh? We're doing good. Okay, now we got chapter 10. This is our last chapter, okay, that we're going to do today. Normally, guys, I do about four, maybe five chapters, but chapter 10 ends the major division of Leviticus. There's only two divisions. So there's no need to go to chapter 11 because we need to introduce that a little bit, okay? So we'll do that. We'll start chapter 11 next Thursday. So read at least four or five chapters, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Make sure to read and study that for next Thursday, okay? Chapter 10, you will see in your study Bible. If you need a good study Bible, guys, call me, email me, text me, and I will send you the ISBN for a very, very good one, okay? Chapter 10 is called The Profane Fire of Nadab and Abihu, okay? The Profane Fire, okay? So look at verse 1 of chapter 10. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord. I don't normally read like that, guys. I'm just trying to pull out certain words because we're going to talk about it, okay? Which he had not commanded them, okay? Put incense on it and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he, capital H, mean God, he had not commanded them. Okay, let's deal with this. First of all, Nadab and Abihu are Aaron's first two sons, the eldest and the next in line. Every time it mentioned in the previous chapter about Aaron and his two sons, the two sons was Nadab and Abihu, okay? So that's son number one, son number two. They were right there when all of the rules and regulations was given to them on how to perform the burnt offerings and the sacrifices and the incense, all of those things. Now, let me give you some definitions. When you see that word censer, C-E-N-S-O-R, it is a handheld fire pan. It's a pan that they carry fire or coals in. Handheld fire pan used to transport live coals, okay? Did you see anything said about carrying a censer in the previous chapter? I didn't, okay? Profane, when it says profane fire, is fire came that comes from some place other than the altar in the sanctuary. That's what that word profane means in this context, okay? The altar, where the burnt offerings was the only place or only source that they could get the fire or coals if they needed from. At no time did Moses tell them, which God told Moses to tell to the priest, at no time were they told to do this. At no time. So now look at verse 2. So fire went out from the Lord, fire from the Lord, the Most High God, and devoured them. And they died, devoured in that context mean killed. And they died before the Lord right there on the spot. Look at verse 3. And Moses said to Aaron, who is Aaron, their father, this is their firstborn son and his secondborn son. Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, if you didn't underline this next section, do so. By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. Then it says, so Aaron held his peace. Now, if that's not powerful, I don't know what is. Now, you can read this and say, and you will be okay in your thinking, you could read this and say, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. You can read that and say, God is saying to come to him, we must regard him as holy. I agree with that. The second part, and before all the people, I must be glorified. So if you regard him as holy, then you must glorify him and glorify his name and exalt him. Means glorified. Okay? That would be a very good understanding. But put to that the context of what we're talking about. We're talking about the priest right now and the priest's sons right now. Okay? It's okay if you think that, because that's kind of like a second meaning. But it's my job to teach you what the scripture says. Okay? So, by those who come near me. Who are those that can come near him? Who are the only people that you have read that can get anywhere close to God? We've, in the previous chapters, it was Moses. It was Aaron, is now the high priest. He can get close to God. He goes into the most holy of holies. His sons are installed as priests. They can go inside the holy place. So the context of this is not talking about everybody. It's talking about the priest only. It says, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. So if you do not regard me holy enough to follow the letter of the law that I have given to you, you will be consumed on the spot. Amen, somebody. Obedience. Obedience is what God desires. And before all the people, I must be glorified. What that is saying is that in front of my people, as they are watching, I must be glorified, meaning you must do your part to bring glory to my name as I have selected, consecrated, and installed you to do. My name and my word will not change. I must be glorified. Amen. So that showed the people, if he will do that to the priest, what will he do to us? So we must be obedient as well. Did you get that in your reading? If not, I hope you got it now. Okay. So moving right along. I've already talked about that. By those who come near me, meaning the priest, I must be regarded as holy. That's commands must be obeyed, purified, sanctified, and holy. Okay. Oh, I'm glad I put this in the notes. It says, and Aaron held his peace. Aaron could not say a word. His two sons have just been struck dead. He went from being proud, I'm the high priest. My eldest two sons are selected as priests. Now get this now. The eldest son was to succeed Aaron as high priest. And then the second son move up to the number two spot, should I say. And then another son would be selected for the third spot, if anything ever happened to Aaron. But guess what? Those two sons now have been killed instantaneously. And Aaron cannot open his mouth. Verse 4 and 5 says, the two, when you see those other two names, just know that they were their cousins, okay? But what I want to explain to you is that they were Levites. They were, the reason why I gave you their names and gave you their relationship is so you will know that they are Levites. That's why they were able to come in and carry the two bodies out of the camp. Did you think about that when you were reading it? So no, none of the other tribes could come in there and touch those bodies. The Levites were able to, okay? So the Levites came, they weren't priests now. They weren't priests, but these bodies were dead at this point. So the two cousins from the tribe of Levi came, carried the bodies, not only out of the tent or out of the courtyard, but because of their sin and their disobedience, they were carried all the way out of the outside of the camp. They couldn't even be anywhere near the 12 tribes and buried. Okay? That's how severe this is. So when you get to verse 6 through verse 7, your notes on that, Moses told Aaron and Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons. Now, Eleazar and Ithamar are the two next sons. They are the two sons that would take the place of the two priests that were just killed by God himself. Okay? So he told them, do not uncover your heads nor tear your clothes, lest you die. Now, when you read that, you're like, Red, why does it say that? Uncovering, their heads were covered. Uncovering of their heads and tearing their clothes in that day and time was a custom of mourning. You can say, just like we go, you know, it's all of us on this line know that if you're going to a funeral this weekend, you are wearing black. Okay? More than, oftentimes than not, you're wearing black because that's our custom. Well, that is what this is saying. Okay? Well, and we will stand over the gravesite and put like one of the flowers, the family will put that on the casket. Okay? That is a custom. That's a tradition of ours. That's our way of mourning. Well, to tear your clothes and to uncover your head was a way of mourning. He says, you cannot even mourn for the two that were disobedient. Okay? Because if you mourn in the tabernacle for two people that were disobedient and did not follow God's commands, then you will defile yourself and defile the temple. And look at what the word says. And the wrath will come upon the people. You got to get this. You got to get this. Then you will be able to see the meaning of this. Okay. I tried to put it in notes. Those of you all that have the notes in front of you. What does it mean by, and the wrath will come upon the people? Well, the people didn't do anything. The two priests did something, right? And then he said to two replacement priests and to Aaron, you can't mourn or you would defile the temple and the wrath of God will come upon the people. The people didn't have anything to do with this, okay? So you should have said to yourself as you was reading that, why would it be stated like that? You have to remember the priests were the representatives of the people. They were made purified. They were made sanctified. They were made holy. Not all the people, the priests were, because they sanctified, I mean, they gave sacrifices, accepted the sacrifices for the people. So they were the representatives. So they must remain holy. They must remain righteous. People, what is this saying? Christ Jesus was the representative for us. He had to be sinless. He that knew no sin became sin for us. He knew no sin. He never sinned, but he accepted the sins for us. He was holy. He was righteous, and we were not. He was our representative. He was our high priest. and still is. Okay? So this is the meaning of all of this. And if you never get that in your brain, you miss the meaning of this. The priests, all that they went through and all that you read of all these sacrifices and offerings and purifying themselves, if they remained holy, the people were blessed. If they did not remain holy, the wrath of God came upon them. If they remained holy and purified themselves, they could accept the sacrifices. If they accepted the sacrifices, the people's sins were atoned for, not wiped clean, because the blood of a lamb couldn't do that, but the blood of Christ Jesus could. Amen, somebody. So this was just an example. This is what they had to go by then, because Christ is not on the scene yet, okay? Christ is not on the scene yet. So this is just an example of Christ being holy for us and taking the responsibility for us, making atonement for us. But let's take it a step further. You have a responsibility after you are saved and consecrated for the work of the Lord and sanctified. Christians are to be the example to the world. We are to be holy, we are to be righteous, and then we are to be God's representatives on this earth. Man, I'm giving you a lot of theory and things behind this. I hope you're getting this. The priests were the representatives for the Israelites. Christ was the representative and took the atonement for the entire world. Once we get that, Christians are to be the example for the entire world. They should look at us and say, I want what they have. Remember what I told you. Everyone outside of the Israelites were devil-worshipping people. Every Canaanite, Hittite, all these ites out there were devil-worshipping people. God wanted his people to remain holy. The line, the nation that he established, the Hebrews, the Israelite nation, was to remain holy. Because why? The Savior of the world would come through that line. That line of Judah, the tribe of Judah, one of the 12 tribes of Israel, the Hebrews, the sons of Israel, the sons of Jacob. Okay? So all of the commandments, all of the rules and regulations was to keep his peculiar people, his royal priesthood, holy and righteous before his sight, because Christ Jesus would come through that line and be the ultimate atonement for our sins, to wipe away what the devil did in Genesis. Amen. Amen. Let's move right along because I don't have but a few more minutes. I knew not to do more than three chapters because I knew I would talk a lot. Verse 8, it says the conduct and prescribed as priests. Okay. It says, do not drink wine or intoxicating drink. You or your sons. So you off the hook. He's talking about the priest now. I'm not going to relate this to you. It's talking about the priest. Okay. You or your sons, lest you die. Okay. That you may distinguish between holy and unholy, and clean and unclean, and teach the people. My brother, my sister, I tell y'all all the time, when I teach, is not my opinion. I'm only teaching you what is being said by the Bible. I cannot put my opinion in it, or I will tell you specifically, this is just my opinion, but or my thoughts, but I will tell you a personal experience. I read this scripture early on, and I know that the context of it is the priests or pastors of God, you should not drink wine with intoxicating drink, that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, clean and unclean, and teach the people. This scripture is one of the reasons why I have not had wine or intoxicating drink for probably about 20 years now, at least 15, 18 years, when I accepted my calling as a minister of the gospel. And that's just my personal story. This is one of the scriptures that I found in the Bible to say, don't ever drink again. And that is why I don't. Now, you can say to yourself, well, intoxicating drink, maybe I should stay away from it because I want to discern things correctly. I want to distinguish between holy and unholy, clean and unclean, and I want to be able to share the gospel. Definitely, you can relate that to yourself. Definitely. But I have to stay within the confines of the scripture. The scripture is speaking to the priest, okay? But feel free to relate it to yourself if you want to. Amen? Amen. The priest could not drink wine during the performance of their priestly duties. Now, I wanted to make sure to include that during certain festive meals after the offerings, wine was drank, but it could not be consumed during the priestly duties. No way, shape, form, or fashion, or they would be deemed unclean. Okay? It could not happen. But during other meals, they could digest squished grapes, okay? They squeezed some grapes, and that's what they were drinking, okay? So there is a difference. Not all this fermented stuff that's, 100 proof, okay? So look at verse 12. Let me keep moving. Moses told the priest, take the grain offering and eat with unleavened bread. You remember why it's unleavened? Because when they left Egypt, they didn't have time to add leaven. Right before the Exodus, okay, go back to those sessions, and they must eat it in the holy place and take the wave offering and the heave offering and eat in a clean place. That's what Moses told the priests, okay? Now, when you get down to verse 16, you see Moses complaining. Now, who are the priests he's talking about? He's talking about Aaron and the two new sons that took the place of the two that was killed. He told them, go do their grain offering, their unleavened bread, their wave offering, and the heave offering, okay? Because they had to do all their offerings, okay? Because they had to perform their duties. So, verse 16, you see Moses was getting upset. Verse 16, Moses complained that Aaron's sons had failed to eat the portions of the sin offering as said by the Lord, meaning they were supposed to eat it and consume all of it. And they left some of it. And failure to do so meant that the guilt of the community remained. There we go again. They are the representatives for the entire community, the entire nation. If they didn't perform the sacrifice correctly, the guilt would be on the people because this was to atone for their sins. If I give them a ram or a lamb to atone for my family's sins and my children's sins and all of this, then if they don't perform it correctly, then my sins aren't forgiven. Okay? That's what Moses is saying. That's why he was upset. So guess what was about to happen? They were about to be consumed as well, okay? So, but Aaron, he's the official high priest now, decided to burn the remaining of the offering on the burnt offering, and that way the offering was consumed. So then Moses agreed to what Aaron did and was satisfied. Aaron wasn't about to lose two other sons. Okay? So that concludes chapter 10.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll free international callers 1-888-201-5313.